open to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Very excited about this because I've been praying a lot, and I really felt like I've made a connection this week with the Spirit of God. And Lord, what do you want me to say about this? I mean, you know, any scripture, you can take it in a lot of different directions. Have you ever heard somebody preach on Sermon on the Mount? And then you heard somebody else come and teach on the Sermon on the Mount, exact same verses, and it was totally different, and both of them were totally good. You know, scripture has a depth to it that there's levels of meaning, there's levels of truth. Now, I say this very guardedly because some people think, like, you can take and make it mean anything. Well, that's not true. Jesus is divine, or Jesus is not divine. Everyone with me on that? You see what I'm saying? Jesus is God, or Jesus is not God. Now, we're the church. We believe Jesus is God. Okay? And I give you so many verses on that. But now let's talk about Jesus a little bit. And someone will say, you know, I've been studying my Bible, and it says that Jesus will be called a Nazarene. And then he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. My Bible says Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Another guy says, you're both all wet. You don't know what you're talking about. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1 says, out of Egypt have I called my son. Jesus is going to come out of Egypt. Now, all three of those people are arguing, but they needn't argue at all. He's called a Nazarene. He was born in Bethlehem. He did go down to Egypt, and God called his son out of Egypt. All those things are true. You see, that's what I'm kind of saying. There's more than one truth in any passage or about any one topic. So as I was looking at this, I want to teach truth. But Lord, what are you trying to say to this group of people at this time, right here, right now, and ostensibly on the radio later on? I really felt like I made a connection so much so that I think I got next week's direction as well. I think even next week he started working on how, okay, this is what you're bringing next week. And that never happens. It was just an overflow. It was just too much, okay, so that more than 1 week worth, okay. And there's only a few verses. Let's start in verse 11. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. That almost sounds like a medical condition, doesn't it? We'll go there. We'll talk about that. Actually, I'm going to teach this backwards, and I'll show you why afterwards. Ye are not straightening us. What are you talking about now? But ye are straightening your own bowel. Sounds like another medical condition. We'll explain that. It's not what it sounds like. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I know Matt prayed earlier. Let's just pause and ask God's blessing in a special way. Spirit of the living God, that you may provide for us times of refreshing from these passages, that we may hear them and become obedient to them and make changes in our lives that you would lead, that you would uncover, that would praise our worthy Savior. We ask it in his holy and powerful name. Amen. Now, our mouth is open and your heart is enlarged. You're not straightening us. You are straightening your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Now, let's just put that aside. We'll come back to that, okay? I want to do this kind of backwards. I don't normally do stuff like this, but when we explain that, I'm going to show you why it's there. Everything kind of builds on everything else. Have you noticed that? We're in three weeks ago, we're in 2 Corinthians 5, And we discovered that we were ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're representing everything we say, everything we do, everything we refrain from saying, everything we refrain from doing. Our behavior, our emotions, our skill sets, our gifts, our individual, unique, quirky, fun, sober-minded, whatever our personality is, we're representing God. We're representing Jesus Christ. And there's room, by the way, for multifaceted personalities. Our God is multifaceted. The fact that you're like a fun-loving guy, the fact that you're a very sober-minded individual, the fact that you have like this warrior spirit in you, the fact that you're, just quirky and weird and obsessive-compulsive, all these things I think are like, there's no like, I don't want, you know, if you're like, when the worship word, if it's spelled wrong, and you're like, head's going to explode, by the way, that's me, does that really super upset you? I saw on a face page a church. There, when I went on there, I looked them up on the line online, and it said, "We're glad you're here. We're glad W-E-R-E. You're here. Y-O-U-R." And I'm like, "Really? Don't they have spell check or nothing?" And some of you over there saying, "Yeah, what's wrong with that?" Okay, public school wasn't kind to you, I understand. And some of you don't spell, and some of you really rely on spell check. But does that make you a bad person because you don't care about it? Or does it make you a bad person because you just sit there and obsess about it? I think there's room for everybody. We have all these, and so we're representing, no matter who we are, we're representing Jesus Christ. With all the quirks, with all the weird stuff, we're representing. And now, last time we were together, 2 weeks ago, we looked in chapter 6, the first half, and it's, okay, how are you representing? You know, do these things. Make sure it's this. Make sure, I know people say this about you, but make sure that's not true. Make sure this is true. And we had that extended list. I felt like the Spirit of God really spoke to us during that time. And when I was studying, I felt like the Spirit of God was really speaking to me. That was a hard thing to study. I mean, it really, really was. And now, okay, now let's pass that. Listen. This is the next step. The next step. You're representing. You're with God. You're talking about God. You're showing everyone God, right? Well, don't do it unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Well, for a lot of reasons here, obviously. We've said before, you know, you take your German shepherd and you let him out and he ends up with a pack of wolves or something like that. He won't domesticate those wolves. He'll turn wild. The wolves will have more profound effect on him than he will have on them. It is that way with the believer as well. So what are you saying, Adam? Don't hang out with unbelievers? No. No. If you're hearing that, let me just emphasize. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't let them, don't fellowship together. What's fellowship? It's two fellows in the same ship. We're going the same way. We're going in the same direction. We hang out together. We do life together. You know this. I don't have to spend a long time on this. But there's a place where we're casting pearls before swine. We open our hearts to strangers and let them into places where they're not. It's about the Lord. It's about our family. This is Christian stuff. This is, and it's not for the unbeliever to mock and to make fun of. And now listen to what I'm saying. Listen to my heart. If I don't get it with my words, listen to my heart. Jesus routinely hung out with non-believers, and he had a profound impact on them. And they didn't sully or soil the Savior. He was at a party with tax collectors. Ostensibly, women of the evening were there. They had music. It wasn't godly music. And Jesus was ministering and bringing people into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if God's calling you, I want you there, I want you doing that ministry, go, you have our blessing. If you feel like, well, I'm losing my, you know, because I hear this a lot of time. People say, you know, I like to go to the bar and I talk to them boys and I tell them about Jesus and stuff. Like, oh, I have a beer with them or two. I'm thinking like, really, really? I think the best way to help a drunk is not in the gutter with them. Stay on the curb. Pull them up. You don't have to get down there with them. Now, that's just an illustration. That's just an illustration. That's just a... When you're when, once you stepped across a line and now you see that sin is happening, there's some questions the Bible would ask us. Don't do that. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Do you see that? So I was at a family thing yesterday. A niece was graduating high school, and there was, oh my goodness, there was a pile load of people there because they had a lot of friends besides family. And all the family gets together, and a lot of food's involved and stuff like that. And I'm looking at it, I'm trying to, you know, I hate those things kind of for the most part. I like them and I hate them. I don't know. Because everyone's there like, nobody's a Christian except me and Suze. And some people say something and I'll look at Suze and she'll look at me and we have that nonverbal thing going on. You know, people married a long time got that, right? You don't have to even speak it out. And we just kind of smile and bear up under it. That's different when a bunch of Christians get together and there's food and fun and laughs. And it could be the same food. Could be the same activity, a graduation party. And it's different. You know how it's different. And listen, the Bible asks us, what fellowship hath... And you know, this is always used. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And this is always used for, like, you know, young girls, don't be dating them non-Christian guys. That's an application here. It's a good application, by the way. Now, if you're married to an unbeliever... Especially if you became an unbeliever after you got married. Once upon a time, a Catholic guy married a Methodist girl, and neither one of them loved the Lord. Neither one of them were born again. Is that unequally yoked? No, two heathens. Then I got saved. And I'm one of the minority ones who get saved, the guy who gets saved before his wife. You can't picture this because you know Susan, you know the sanctified version. She did not like that. She called me a God freak. She said, who is this God freak I married? She was not happy. And I was like, oh, Lord, what's going on here? I just thought she'd come right on board. She didn't. It wasn't a long period of time. It was a small season of my life. But I was like, I thought she's going to leave. If that's happened, if that's what your life looks like, do what I did. Do what I did. I'm not always the best example of everything. I mean, I'm really not. But here I said, Lord, if she goes, if it's a choice between you and her, I choose you. You're saying, really? You did that? Yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. Because I was doing that... believing that she's going to leave me. Just thinking about her leaving me gives me all, I'm just going to start getting all puddling up here. But there's no, I hope you're happily married to someone who loves Jesus. Don't put yourself in that situation foolishly. And by the way, don't ask me to marry and be part of that foolishness because I'm going to look at this verse and I'm going to say, that ain't happening. I'm not going to be part of your train wreck. I'm not going to ruin your life. The lady gets to be 25. Well, she's an old maid, you know, and all her friends are engaged and she's like, you know, and there's no guys around and oh my goodness. And so she starts looking the best she can do and comes up with this guy. He's not too terrible, you know. He's not antagonistic to the things of God. And she thinks, you know, and she's settling. And she's not doing this verse. She's not doing life correctly. I won't be part of that. And I would, if I were her pastor, I would discourage that immensely. I would tell her in every way I could, don't do that. Don't do that. You're not going to, especially the woman, you're not in a power position. You're not going to drag him up to your level. The tendency is him going to be pulling you down. And God bless you, ladies, if you're in that situation, or men, if you're in that situation, God bless you. I know, I understand. And God can work in that situation. And when we get to, you know, Second Peter, I think, no, it's 1 Peter chapter 2 or 2 Peter chapter 2, 6. 1 Peter 6. I don't know. Look it up, okay? I don't remember all the places all the time. But there's an extended portion where it tells women how to behave if they have unbelieving husbands. And if you do that, It'll work out better than if you try your own on your own to try to do things. But here, don't put yourself in that situation. Now, is it more than that? What about a business partnership? What about this or what about that? What about my work? You know, should I work? Working for this guy? He's not. He's going to be dragging me off in a bad situation. He's going to want me to compromise my Christianity. Don't be unequally yoked. Say, yeah, but I need to work. Do you really? Because I think you need God. And yeah, he knows there's wolves, he knows there's heating bills, he knows you have to pay for, he knows all that stuff. Put him first, honor him first, unabashedly, undecidedly. That's the wrong word. Decide that you're first in my life, period, paragraph. He'll honor that. He knows you have to eat. Don't you worry about that. Don't do what this verse says. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So can you hang out with him? I hope you do. I hope you're reaching them with the love of Jesus Christ. That's what an ambassador does. Represent, and represent well. I'm not asking you to be done with all unbelievers. I'm asking you not to be, I'm telling you the scripture says don't be unequally yoked together with them. Because fellowship, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? You turn on the light and half of the room gets light. There's like a big, there's a wall right here, visible. The light goes on, this, it hits this darkness. And is that how your lights work? Because I'm an electrician. I haven't seen lights that work that way, right? No, you turn a light on, all the darkness goes away because they can't coexist together. And that's how it is with righteousness and unrighteousness. That's how it is with light and darkness. And what conquered hath Christ with Belial? What part that hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? They're all saying the same thing, and we can parse them out and go over painstakingly those things individual. All I'm saying is this. If you're going to walk with somebody, don't you have to be going in the same direction? Listen, when I read this, my flesh in me said, okay, give them all that stuff. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't, and I'll give them a whole list. Now, I've made up such a list, and I'm going to pass it out now, and no. I'm not that guy. Actually, I am that guy, but I try very hard not to be, and I'm remembering I'm representing Jesus Christ, and he's not that guy. Here's a list. I mean, because you know what would be here? There'd be a list of do's and don'ts if God wanted a list of do's and don'ts. And I can get all my pet peeve stuff across here right now and get it all out of the way and say, okay, this is the stuff that you should be abandoning. But it's not that way at all. It's about relationship, isn't it? It's about relationship. Let's discuss relationship. I do want to say one thing. I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Everything the world does, we do less. We are the world light. We're the light product, okay? We're no matter what kind of mayhem they're involved in, we're involved in lesser mayhem. Whatever sins they involve themselves in, we got our own version of it. And now here I can go on a big diatribe. You've heard my stuff before. You know, they get together, they roll out the red carpet, Hollywood's involved, there's camera, there's lights, and they pat themselves on how wonderful their movies are or their songs or their plays or their whatever it is. We get the same thing. We get double awards. Aren't you guys awesome? You did this and this and this. And it's, if you just turn on the show in the middle of it, it's the Academy Awards. We do all the things they do. We just do it less. We do it to a lesser degree, and we call it Christian. Jim Cymbala in his book, Storm, and by the way, you should read this. No, you can't have my copy. Do I read from books very often that aren't the Bible? No, I don't really. But this is kind of what we're talking about, and it's right in the way where we were going anyway. And I just want you to get the heart here of what we're saying here. Because we're not winning people with holiness, and that's how God designed that it would work, okay? I'll give you just one example, and it's one that I've been on for a long time. When the Holy Spirit is not leading and controlling believers' lives, some very dangerous trends are sure to develop. At the top of the list must certainly be the current acceptance and even flaunting of social drinking among professing Christians. I'm not talking about the wine with meal question. By the way, I'm not either. I'm reading the book, okay? I'm not saying that, but I am saying that. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I wouldn't be reading this. That is a personal choice to be made in your own home. I'm referring to the increased use of alcohol, especially hard alcohol, at Christian social events. Consider the following events that have recently been brought to my attention. A renowned worship leader and composer recently held a concert in which alcoholic drinks were served. One of our members attended and was stunned to see many in the audience holding their glass of beer or liquor while they swayed to the music. A well-known church brand, that's in quotations, included an open bar during their baptismal services here in New York City. Brooklyn Tabernacle. He's the pastor there, in case you're wondering. And in case you're wondering, we won't be serving alcohol at our church picnic baptism, okay? Just in case you were wondering, the answer is no. A recent Christian men's conference advertised a segment for beer tasting among the scheduled activities. It seems as if there is no limits to the I'm not under bondage attitude to those who feel victimized by their more strict upbringing. Hard alcohol is more and more part of our social lives of professing Christians and is now making inroads into church-related events. Of course, it's all embraced and justified by an appeal to grace versus law. And I'm grace over law. But God's given me the grace, the power to abstain from sin. But I'm not going to go there. But I sometimes wonder if it's really more about self-indulgence of people who have lost the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it goes on, and we can read more. But I think you get the gist of what I'm trying to say here. Look, we're not wowing people with our holiness, with our separation, and God's call us to be separate. And we're supposed to. Church goes from one, okay, what's the latest, newest gadget, tech, and technological, what are you doing with lights, what are you doing with sound, what are you doing with smoke machines, how should we do, and you have this whole, and then we go from one seminar to the other, to the other, to the other, what's the latest, what's the greatest, what's the newest, what's the best, and church attendance is dwindling, 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 dwindling. How about just an idea? How about doing it God's way? Stone me if you will, but just an idea. He's spoken to this. He says, holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, he's called us not to be separate for the sake of separation, not for the sake of, like, I don't want you getting your disease, your nasty sin all over me. That's not it. That's when people say, you're just like me, what's the difference? Why should I become like you? You do all the same, you watch all the same TV shows I watch. You go to all the same movies. You talk the same way. You indulge in the same behavior. There's no difference between you and me. Why should I become like you? They make a good case. And remember, at the beginning of this, we talked about, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm representing. Now, it's not just rules and regulations. That's so, I told you, if I just gave you a list of all things. Now, don't do this, don't do this. Don't. And I could do that because I have my pet peeves like everybody else. I see Christians involved in this and I just say, oh, yeah, yeah, what are we thinking? And then they tell me, like, hey, have you read your Bible this week? Oh, I have time. How much TV do you watch? Oh, three and a half hours a day. Oh, you have time to read your Bible, huh? Come on. Come on. I talk to people and say, what's God's speaking in life? What is God doing in your life? And people look at me with a blank stare with, like, what are you talking about? God doesn't speak to people individually now. Some of you, I'm guessing, have never heard the voice of the Lord in your life ever. I've never heard the audible voice, but he knows how to get his point across. I've never heard his voice audibly, but I've sat in his presence and known that he was afoot. And he was leading me into, but more on that in a minute. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Listen, you're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's not about rules, it's about relationship. I want to dwell with them. I want to live with them. I want to hang with them. I want to do life together with them. That's the heart of our God. listen, if it's about relationship, you know, there's some things if I'm doing, it's going to be without Suze. Right? And those aren't always bad things. If I go hunting, Suze ain't going. Okay? She's not freezing to death, walking out through the woods, the loaded gun, traipsing through mud and bog and to shoot a deer that I don't have anything against personally. I don't count me out, okay? I'm not saying it's sin. I'm just saying it's not conducive to, and by the way, it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying hunting's bad. I'm not saying not hanging out with your spouse 24/7. I'm not saying that's not bad. That's a bad thing either. I'm just saying if I want to do a relationship, if I want to hang out with her, I'll have to go to the places she wants to go. If I'm taking her out to dinner, it's got to be the places she likes to eat, right? Well, thankfully, she loves sushi, because I love sushi, so we go to have sushi together. She says, Dad, raw fish, I ain't going. Guess what? If I want to do dinner with her, I have to go someplace else that doesn't serve sushi. I had to use that for an example, because a lot of you guys I know don't like sushi. And Suze likes everything. She's really very easy to get along with, food-wise. But, you know, someplace she wants to go and someplace she don't want to go. And if I do life with Suze, I'm going to be going to the places she wants. Well, the same thing with you, God. I say it like this. There's a lot of Christians that I know. They're trying to like ride on two horses. There's Satan's horse and there's the world's horse. And they're trying to ride both and have. You see how schizophrenic that is? Make up your mind, because there's going to be a fork in the road, and this horse goes this way and this horse goes this way. You have to make up your mind. But I've said this before. We're fooling ourselves if we think that God's horse and Satan's horse ever are going in the same direction. And God's saying, listen, the reason I want you to be separate, the reason I want you to be holy, what's holiness? It's separation. That's the whole thing. God says, I'm holy. What are you talking about, God? You sanctimonious? No, I'm separate. I don't do sin. There's whole books in the Bible. I can go 1,000 different, my mind is just reeling. I go 1,000 different ways here. I want to go the way the Holy Spirit's directing me. Listen, separation. God says, I'm the only. Everything that is, view this, everything that is either God, creator, or created. Everything that exists is creator or created. And God's there, I'm creator. There's no one else but me. Was there a big bang? Well, if he banged, if God said, yeah, you know, it wasn't a force outside of God. There's only God. And everything else is creation. Some of you people, you think Satan, like you give him too much credit. He's a created being. He's not going to defeat Jesus Christ and Jesus the Creator comes back. There's absolutely zero chance that God alone is the Creator. He stands alone. He says, there's no gods besides me. I know that's politically incorrect, but it's biblically correct. And I'd rather be biblically correct than politically correct. God says, listen, I look to the right, look to the left, look behind me. No gods, just me. I'm the only one. I'm singular. I'm holy. I'm separated. There's nothing like me. And so you say, all right, God, you're awesome. I want to hang out with you. So I want you to hang out with me too. I want you to be my God. Now, this is what I have a few. Listen, I ask you out for dinner, right? And what is the first thing you say? Well, I have these allergies, and where do you live? And we gotta be, one, show up in the same place, right? And if I feed you a bunch of things, it's gonna make you puff up like a blowfish and end up in the emergency room. Well, it's not fellowship, not really, it's not. And it's not like rules and regulations. It's like, if we're gonna hang out together, let's establish where we're going together and stuff like that. God's the same way. No, don't be there, because I'm not there. Why do you think, listen, have you ever thought this through? Why do you think adultery is wrong? It's not wrong with cats. Why is it wrong with humans? Because cats aren't made in the image of God. You and I are. And God says, I would never cheat on you. I'd never two-time you. I would never say one thing and do another. I would never pull the rug out from under you. I'm true. I'm truth. I don't lie. I don't even know how to lie. Now, when Satan talks his normal language, he talks a lie. It's his native tongue. God says, I can't lie. I don't even know how to lie. I wouldn't lie. I'm true. I'm truth. And so if you're walking in truth, you're walking with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? This is the call for separation. It's a call of relationship. It's not a call of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do this. You see that? I want to have a relationship with my wife. And some of you understand that, right? What would I not do? Well, I wouldn't take up smoking and blow smoke rings in her face. She would not. Back in the day, I never smoked. I never smoked. Back in the day, when I was in the electrician's local, remember we had to make, when we were apprentices, we had to go to all the meetings. And back then, they allowed smoking because Woody and Stan hadn't given up smoking yet. So we go into this meeting that we're there for two and a half hours or something, and it's just grim, but we're apprentices, so we have to go. And everyone's smoking. And I went home, and I would reek of cigarette smoke, and I didn't even have a puff, not even one. And she'd say, go take a shower. And I'd take a shower, and I'd wash my hair, and I would shower, and I'd come to bed. She goes, no, you still reek. I'd take two showers. This woman's super sensitive. She got this olfactory sense that I don't have, you know. I can't smell anything. I mean, I really can't. Not unless it's, like, huge. I can't. I just don't have it. And she can smell, like, anything. I'd rather be me than her when it comes to that. But she'd make me take two showers. So if I want to hang with her and I want to be with her and I want to have this relationship with her and I want to, guess what I'm not doing? Lighting up an old nasty old 50-cent cigar and blowing smoke rings at her. That's not going to be conducive to our relationship. You understand what I'm trying to say? Relationship, not rules. God's calling us to, from among them, be separate. One, we're representing. Two, be where I am. Hang out with me. I'm not going to the places where you're going a lot of times. So what's the rule? What's the rule of thumb? How can we, what cools off your relationship with God? Now sin, okay, look, I'm not going to porn place with you. Obvious. That's not what we're talking about. Hopefully that's not the issue. Do away with sin, be done with that. Now what about the other stuff? I've noticed that there's some things I do, not sin. There's nowhere in the Bible says you can't do this, but if I'm involved in this activity, it cools my relationship with God. Now, I will tell you them, because I'd be happy to tell you them, but I don't want to do that, because I don't want you to think in terms of, oh, I don't have that, so I'm cool. No, this is where you have to let the Spirit of God speak into your life, who is more than happy to tell you, I don't really like this in your life. I remember, can I give you like one example, just an example? I was playing golf when Suze was working at the time, early when I first started playing golf, 15, 16, 17 years ago. And she was working at TJ Maxx in Bangor. I think she was still in the legislature, but she was working that like during the summer. So I could rush home and be in an empty house. So I'd go have a round of golf, and I'd still get home and shower and everything and still beat her and, you know, home. So I'd go and I'd play golf like three, four nights a week. And, you know, bought a membership at a country club, et cetera, et cetera. I was getting pretty good, too. I was getting like, so, you know, I'd hit the ball. I'd take my 7-iron out. I'd hit it, go 165 yards and stop, and I'd say, yes. Like, you know, and I started to get really good at it. But I'd make, you know, like you do, I don't know if any of you guys golf. You know how it is. You make a wonderful shot and a wonderful shot, and then you hit it behind you, and you kill a duck or something with some, you know, and you think, what? I don't even know I had that shot left. And sometimes I was, like, keeping score, and I was trying to get better and trying to, like, reduce my handicap. And I was starting to take it really, really too seriously. And I felt the Spirit of God one time when I was ready to throw a club, you know, wrap it around a tree or something, just, you know, don't. I know, leave me hanging here. Look, oh, you do that, you're so carnal. I never do think, yeah, okay, guys, I know, you're wonderful, I'm carnal. But I was ready to throw a fit, and I felt like the Spirit of God said, we have to take this away, Adam, we have to. No, Lord, no, I'm cool, no problems here. And I had to, like, you know, reevaluate. Listen, I hope it's not a sin to watch football, because I'm, like, way sinner then. I love football. Sunday afternoon, that's a wonderful pastime. I can get pretty in the flesh sometimes. I'm just going to admit it to you, I can get in the flesh. I can let that, listen, millionaires chasing a pigskin around, underinflated pigskin, whatever, I don't even care. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It could be a very bad thing. I think the commercials can be a very bad thing. But I'm thinking if you let your attitude drift away from the Lord, it's a horrible thing. So what, are you down on football? No, I'm down on anything. That won't be you. Because you'll sit there and you'll say, oh, them idiots, they don't even know how to play football. And you'll turn it off and watch a cooking show on PBS or whatever. Who cares? And you're saying, I don't care. It doesn't affect me that way. Praise God. This is the guy, self-confessed. I used to watch 162 baseball games a year. When they're on the left coast, I'd stay up to the wee hours of the morning watching my beloved Red Sox, okay? I'm not that guy anymore, okay? Why? Because it was a huge amount of time. I can't do that anymore. Now I don't watch the Red Sox at all. Zero. When I come like from here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and I'll listen to them on the radio on the way home, softly, because she doesn't like baseball on the radio. She likes to go to baseball games. She don't like it on the radio, and I'm trying to cultivate a relationship with my wife, so I don't, you know. And we go to the house, and I don't turn it on and watch the rest of the game. That's just me. Can you? Listen, I don't want to give you a list. I want to give you a relationship. What keeps your relationship with God red hot? What's cooling it off? Have you ever been in a place where you were listening to the voice of God, where you heard him, where you spent sweet fellowship with him, where you had time with him, when he spoke to you, when he encouraged you, when you could kind of feel his sense, his presence? Go back to that place. What's stopping you? What's cooling you off? You got to get rid of that, whatever that thing is. That's the thing. And so I could come to you with this legalistic diatribe, and I don't want to do it. I want you to pray. I want you to spend time with the Lord. Why are you so far away? You're saying, well, maybe he withdrew, maybe he was. Listen, if there's something wrong with your relationship with God, guess on which end it's broken. Just guess. But the scripture is going to tell us that. Let's keep moving here. I'm going to go back. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. This is the whole book, Leviticus. And what is talking about is what's holy. And what, by the way, what's the opposite of, don't say this unless you know. What's the opposite of holy? I knew someone was going to say that. What's the opposite of righteousness? Unrighteousness, right? What's the opposite of holiness? What's the opposite of, I haven't heard it yet, what's the opposite of unholiness? What's the opposite of holiness, I mean? What's the opposite of holiness? I haven't heard it yet. What's the opposite of holiness? When Leviticus said, I'm going to teach you how to separate the holy from the profane. It doesn't have to be unholy, it doesn't have to be ungodly, it doesn't have to be strange, it doesn't have to be like I say, it could be football. It could be anything that's cooling you off. It doesn't have to be. I'm trying to get you to understand something. That come from out from among them, be ye separate, is a separation unto God. It's relationship. I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. I want to hang out with you. I want to love you. I wish you guys weren't so poker face. Everyone's playing their cards real close to the. I want someone like the light coming on saying, yeah, I see that now. I see that. Because, listen, you go to the church that they don't swear, smoke, dance, drink, chew gum, wear lipstick. They ain't any holier than you. They may or may not be. But if giving you a list was going to get you holier to closer to God, I'd give you a list. You do see that. No, I just want to hang out with you. Touch not the unclean thing. I receive you. Come out from among them. Be separate. And I will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you hear the heart of God there? I just want to be with you. I want to be your God. Look, I said I'm going to teach this backwards. O Corinthians, her mouth is open unto you, her heart is enlarged. You're not straightening us, you're straightening your own bowels. For now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Say, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. I got a revised thing. I got an English Standard Version here, and I never do this, right? I'm going to read from the, and it's only just for clarification, okay? We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. What's he saying? Paul's saying, listen, you Corinthians, I'm like a dad to you. If our relationship isn't what it should be, guess where it's broken? Oh, I love you guys, but you don't love me like you should. The issue's on your side. You get it? Some of you get it. Some of you are still old poker face there. I have children. I have the heart of a father. I have children. I love them. Nobody doubts that. One of them is real solid citizen, really loves the Lord. He's back there. He's a good guy. The other one, he's not walking with the Lord. Guess which one I love more? Anyone think I love the one walking with the Lord more? No, you didn't walk into that trap. You know better than that. If my son needed a kidney, I'd give him a kidney. You say, yeah, I believe you would. If the other son needed the other kidney, I'd give it to him. My love to them is more than my love for my own life. I would lay down my life for my sons. Some of you are nodding because you're fathers. Does it work the same with moms? It's a little different. It's complicated. Let me explain. With fathers, it's like we'd take a bullet for our sons. If there's a wild animal attacking our sons, we would stop them, even if it cost our lives. A mom's saying, it wouldn't cost my life, it would cost their life. If someone's attacking my children, they're dying. Moms, you scare me, okay? But it's the same kind of idea, you know what I mean? They would lay down the life of the sons, but most likely they would kill somebody who was damaging them. But it's the same kind of idea. With guys, we understand, we'd lay down our life for our sons. We would just like, and by the way, while I'm talking about that, this kind of funny thing happened at the conference, right? We were there, and there's this duck. A duck, and she had laid some eggs. Ostensibly, I didn't check, right? But she's sitting on a nest, and it's right by the door. And so you're walking in, walking out. She didn't move. She's just like a statue. And I'm like, what's wrong with her? And somebody says, no, she's sitting on eggs. And I'm like, oh, cool. And she kind of pretended like, you know, just she wouldn't bat an eye, nothing. She was like super frozen mode. You remember that? You said that, yeah. So we're going by. And, you know, in and out and stuff. And you think she's having a nervous breakdown, all these people. But that was a really dumb place to have a nest. So we're coming back from Frisbee Golf one afternoon. Yeah, we had some downtime and did some dumb stuff, too. It was really epic. You should listen online to the messages. You really should. CC Philly, 2015 Men's Conference. If you haven't listened to them all, shame on you, because they're available. It's been a couple weeks now. You should. I'm telling you, you should listen to them. I'm telling you. So we come back one time, and the duck's there, and she's not on the nest. And there's a black snake, and he's eating one of the eggs. Yeah, what do you do? Like, I'm not really pro-duck, but I'm more anti-snake. And so there's a guy's there, and he goes, and I'm like, so what do you do? And, you know, and the guy's, that's a black snake. I said, poisonous? Nobody will bite you. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't want him to eat that duck egg, but I'm more like preserving my, I wasn't laying down my life for a duck egg, okay? Nothing like that. But mom should have been. She was just standing there perplexed, like, what do I do in this situation now? She's standing off the side of it, and there's a duck kind of trying to get its mouth around this egg. So Isaac comes over to her, and I think he's going to try to grab that snake by the tail. I'm thinking, I don't want to watch this, and I don't want to maybe give anyone a ride in the emergency room or something like this. So I went inside. I never know what happened. But he come over, like he was going to, like, okay, what am I going to do here? Get a stick, bat that snake, or whatever, and stuff like this. And that mother duck starts hissing at him. Okay, now let me get this straight. A serpent is eating your children, and you're the one who come to help. That's the one you want to hiss at? And I said to myself, man, you know, there's a sermon there. It's an easy one. It's an easy one. We're trying to, listen, come from among them, be separate, touch off the unclean thing. People don't want to hear this message. We want to do this, we want to do this, we want to be involved in this, we want to be involved in this, we want to be involved. I don't care, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. Hiss at me. I'm the one who's trying to save your kids. There's somebody out there who would eat your children, literally. He goes around seeking whom he may devour. And you're hissing at me? Because moms, you're beautiful people. You're really wonderful. You're all about, like, I'm protecting my kids. But sometimes you're protecting in the wrong direction. Listen, be a mom. Say, no, son, no, daughter. You can't go there. You can't do that. It's going to ruin your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that would be, you would be awesome if you did that all the time. And sometimes we just, again, you're just pointing the wrong direction, hissing at the wrong person. Now, that was on my heart, okay? But that's free. I'm not even going to charge that. Look, back to this. I love you. I'm a father. I want to be your dad. I get that. I totally get that. You think it was Paul talking to the Corinthians? Because it is. It is. But behind is the heart of God saying, I want to be your dad. I just want to hang out with you. This is the reason. This is the whole, this is why it's there. This is why that scripture's there. You're thinking like, oh, straightening your heart toward us. No, listen, I love you, God said. I gave you Jesus. What do you think I'm going to withhold from you? And you're standoffish, like I'm some bad guy? Are you kidding me? Really? If we're not as close as we should be, as we could be, well, guess whose fault that is? It's not mine. I've given up my life for you. I literally died, hung naked on a cross to save you, to bring you into my forever family. And you're over there playing with that and that. And you think that's more important than hanging out with me? Really? Can you hear the heartbreak of a father? It's not a legalistic, don't do this, don't do this, naughty, naughty, naughty. It's like, hey, that's not going to be a good thing for you. Hey, let's go over here. Let's be together. Let's do this thing. You get it? I'm reading this, and God's speaking my heart like, and so I had some prayer time. Now, you want me to tell you what? But I don't want to tell you because it's not embarrassing. It's not sin. It's just like, you know, Adam, when you evolve this, I'm not there. I'm not in that. You know what I'm saying? Will he speak to your heart? Oh, I only guarantee it. I only guarantee it. Will he tell you? Or are you just going to sit and say, well, this is the way I am. I like this. And I'm not giving God any room to speak into my life because I like what I'm involved in now. The choice is yours. And listen, at the end of every teaching or anything, you can lead a horse to the water. You can't make him put his swim trunks on, right? The choice is yours. It always is. It always has been. But don't be the James guy. You know, he looks at the perfect law of liberty, the mirror that it is. He walks away, forgetting what manner of man he is. He forgets what he looks like. That's weird behavior, isn't it? Every time you look in the mirror, it's a new discovery. Every time, that's weird. No, I don't want to be that guy, Lord. Straighten me out. What are you saying to me? What do you want me to come out from among? What do you want me to put away in my life? Again, the sin part's obvious. What do you want me to do to walk with you, that you might be my God, that I might be your son or your daughter, that we might have that really super tight connection? Now, if you're there already, praise God. There's always another step and another step and another step. You understand that, right? But it's all right to be all right with God. But I'm telling you, some of you already know. And some, because the Spirit of God's been talking to you. And some of you don't even want to ask the question because you know he's going to finger something in your life that you'd rather have. Listen, can I just say this? I've lived with the Lord for 1980, right? February 14th, 1980. You can do the math. And it's always this big, oh, but Lord, if I just, and I try to argue and I try to throw a hissy fit and this is why I should have this and you don't understand, Lord. And I used a legalistic argument on him too. He's not impressed by it, by the way. And every time I take that step of faith, when I'm on the other side of that thing that I can't live without, when I take that step and say, I'm done with that, I look back and say, what was the big deal? What was the big deal? What was I all nerved up about? Why did I think that God wasn't good for his word? Every time, every single time. Now, Satan's calling me back to things. That you have to be vigilant. I'm talking to you brothers especially. I have a warrior streak in me. I think every man does. All my friends have it. I've noticed that. Don't let Satan tell you. Don't let his agenda be the agenda. Get feisty. I'm not doing that. I'm not marching to your tune. I won't have it. He's trying to cool your relationship with the Lord. Oh, you're still saved. Yeah, you're going to heaven by and by. Wonderful. Are you sensing his presence all the time? Are you walking with him in sweet fellowship? What went haywire? He didn't move. He still loves you as much as he ever did. You want to be the closest person to God in the whole wide world ever? Pig out. He's not holding you at arm's length. He's welcoming you. This is where I'm walking. This is what I'm doing. This is my work. This is where I'm going. You want to go there with? Because I want you to go there with. Let's pray. If you know, I don't know what to say. Listen, we're going to be here, right? Afterwards, and you're going to come up and talk. I'm not Father Confessor. But if you say, yeah, this spoke to me and I really want to get this thing settled, I want you to hold me accountable, I want to pray, you don't have to do it with me. You can turn to somebody else and talk to them. You can be up here if you want to be. If you need healing, if you need financial, like if you're between jobs, you need. We'll pray for whatever, you know. If you have questions, you come right up or anything else. But let's stand and let's have Matt come and send us out of here in song. Oh, I think we all want you to be our God. We've all sensed that you're good and you're good to us all the time. Help us take the step of faith to actually be obedient to the place you're calling us to be. And Lord, we just want to have done with lesser things. We're not even talking about sinful things, Father. We're talking about the things that aren't expedient, the things that aren't beneficial, the things that aren't helping our relationship with you at all. The programs we watch, the movies we go to, all the stuff, all the superfluous stuff. And Lord, I hope again, people aren't hearing a diatribe about don't do this, don't do this. Lord, we just at the end of the day, we just want to walk closer with you. Is that good? Because I think that's your heart too. I think you want to walk close with us. But you're not gonna move from being holy. You're not gonna move into the profane where we live very often. I mean where we live very often, not and Father, I just pray that as you speak to hearts that you'd follow us up in our lives with a decision, a life-altering decision. Not one that's gonna last the rest of the afternoon, one that's gonna last forever. In Jesus' name, amen.